Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is consciousness, part two. And we also have something nice for you today. We have a gift that we're going to tell you about later, and we'll send it out to you. All you have to do is give us a call, but we'll talk more about that gift that we have for you a little later on in the show. Our opening thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And she wrote 24 volumes of books, and all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, as does this thought. What must be grasped is that all that is ever-present. And I can't help but think of 20th century science that we're still continuing to explore and understand. And this statement by Alice Bailey is very much in sync with 20th century science, quantum physics, and the idea to me that Alice Bailey is setting forth right here is that all that ever was, all that ever is, and all that ever will be does exist out there somewhere in time. We talked before about the expansion of consciousness. What psychological effect does such an expansion have on an individual?
I think it can be transformative. It can be like an earthquake, depending on what the expansion entails. These expansions of consciousness can occur for many reasons, from those kinds of induced experiences that anybody who remembers the 1960s can trace back to the use of LSD and other mind-altering drugs, to religious practices, to the quest for self-understanding that can be put into motion by a really deep psychological crisis. Any number of paths can lead one to an expansion of consciousness, and they can be devastating or exhilarating depending on how one reacts to them.
Yeah, they can have a good or a bad effect, it's usually these expansions enable the person to see more and to understand more of the world beyond his little self. And as I said, it can have good or bad effects depending on how one is able to handle this new information, this new energy. And expansions can be vertical as well as horizontal. And by that I mean there are these horizontal expansions. You understand more of the physical world, the tangible world in which you live in. But then there is the what you call the vertical expansions that are upward to the soul level or inward to the soul level. And one grasps more and more of that realm of consciousness.
One of the phrases from the Bible that I think relates to this topic is the saying that, it was the parable of the man who built his house on sand. And his house was blown away in a storm, and he was left with nothing. And then there was the person who built his house on a solid foundation of rock, and he survived the storm. And the whole point of that parable is to tell us that when we don't have a secure foundation in our lives and we undergo a crisis, then we experience a kind of devastating reaction that doesn't necessarily expand the consciousness. It can be contracting, if anything. It can turn you in upon yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you have that solid spiritual foundation under you, you can weather a crisis and emerge with a more expanded sense of who you are, an expanded sense of what your possibilities are as a child of God, not in the sense of an ego-flattering kind of self-knowledge, but I think that the power and the stability that come from knowing what you are capable of enduring and what you can weather and still survive, and how much you identify with the rest of humanity. These are all psychological effects, aren't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah. And the those expansions, if they're related to soul, to moving closer to the soul or opening up more to the soul level, then that opens one up to an inflow of energy, more powerful energies of the soul. And these can have very subtle effects on one's consciousness. You know, they can lead to more stability, as you say, or actually instability. They mm-hmm. can lead to, in some cases, perhaps even to a lot of anxiety and neurosis of different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
There is this sudden inflow of energy that maybe the physical brain or the lower personality is not yet ready to handle. So it makes it kind of difficult for this. All this stimulation comes pouring in, and we don't see it as that. We don't really identify it as that, but that's really what's happening, and often in many cases.
But these experiences, even when they are devastating to the personality, they can often be very fruitful in the long run. That's why new experience of all types is so often growth-producing. You know, the old bromide about how travel is broadening. It really is, because it leads you into new experiences, into contact with people that you've never met before, into an experience of cultures that might be very different than your own. That's one example of an expansion of consciousness that might have some discomfort with it, but it leads to a greater sense of the one humanity. The same with education. That can expand the consciousness. It takes a lot of hard work to pursue an education, but you come out on the other side with a broader sense of the world and your place in it.
Yeah, that's what, in fact, one of the sayings in the Bailey writings was, as a result of one of these expansions, one should become a citizen of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the long-range goal of these expansions of consciousness.
Maybe it would be helpful to review. I think we were talking about this last time in our discussion of consciousness, that consciousness is the production, if you will, that results from the contact of pure spirit, pure divine energy with matter or form, and both are needed by God. The spirit of God needs matter in which to manifest, and the contact of spirit with the material realm produces slowly, gradually, consciousness, which is the sensitivity to life, to the energy of life. Consciousness is another term for the soul, which is this awareness of being both divine in origin and capable of experiencing and manifesting in the world of form. Well, my point is that sensitivity is the result of this impact, and part of it can be painful, but it can also break down the borders that one has erected around oneself And this is, I think, the whole point of expanding the consciousness, to break out of this self-imposed barrier that makes one, while he is living in the material outer world, think that he is a separated unit of consciousness. That's the central illusion about life on Earth, that all of us who are not fully spiritually realized people think, and we're wrong in assuming that we are separated individuals apart from the whole of life, and certainly separate from our fellow men. It's an illusion, a profound one.
Right, and when one reaches that point of realizing that there is something more, another stage or another layer, another level that one encounters, then this often brings up a point of tension and conflict within the person, because the decision has to be made whether to adjust to a higher values of the soul, and the higher values that one encounters in this expansion, or to stay with an old pattern of thinking that one had in that old life of the past, you know, before this expansion. So, I mean, there is a real conflict that crops up in people, I think.
The dialogue that that you and Dale are having reminds me of John Donne, the famous romantic poet who wrote a poem entitled Manacles of the Mind, how most of our experience, most of our thought is limited by our self-imposed limited consciousness. And I couldn't help but think of his poem as you explored consciousness. What are the barriers to expanding the consciousness?
Well, the sense that we, by residing in a form, a body, are separate from other people, that's one major barrier. Why the world is made so that we have individual personalities and individual bodies, I don't know. It must fulfill some part in the plan, because this is where the varied and diverse contribution of human beings can be offered to the plan through the experience and the equipment that each of us has in a particular lifetime. But on the level of consciousness, we don't have those barriers. And yet we assume they are there. And that's what, to me, is so interesting about consciousness, that it really is a reflection of what we assume about life. We tend to think that what we experience, what we think, what we are aware of is reality. But more and more I'm beginning to realize it isn't necessarily reality at all. It's just what we think. It's a construct that we have created for ourselves, probably over many, many incarnations, and we bring it back with us every time we are reborn. As a friend of mine said the other day, we all have these tapes playing in our heads. Well, each of us has a tape that we run constantly, and that is our consciousness, and that we mistake for reality. And the central problem is to figure out how to get beyond that tape, to make that breakthrough to a level of reality that is as God experiences the world.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about the illusions that we create as being barriers. And I was just thinking a good example of that was recently happened to, like the illusions created by the faulty accounting practices at Enron and WorldCom and Arthur Andersen and those other companies. They've created the illusion of a growing and expanding and profitable companies, but actually, when you look past that illusion, there was nothing but falseness there. And such illusions have become, they've preyed on investors, on the investors' desires for profits, and they've created this illusion that there was this profitable company, and then we find out that it is all based on falseness.
Yeah, it's a good example because there's another scandal that recently came to light. I can't think of who to attribute it to, but an accountant said that the minute he looked at their books, he realized what they had done. It was a totally fabricated picture that they were trying to present and that anybody with any knowledge of accounting could see through immediately. And it's, again, an indication of the fabulousness, I guess to use the real meaning of the word, the fabulousness of their creation that really has no foundation to it. So our point is reality is not what we necessarily present it to be.
Right. I mean, everybody, all the investors, and assumed that what they were reading and what they were hearing was real, was reality, was mm-hmm. the truth.
And they wanted it to be, and they probably didn't look too hard.
That's where we all buy into the illusion part of it by investing because we're also want these same profits. We want to be part of this growth and to see it grow. And so we're willing to go along with what appears to be reality.
And also look at how the behavior of mankind was affected by that illusion of Enron, too. And I think another point of this whole discussion is that our consciousness, whether it be illusion or real, determines our behavior. So that's why consciousness is so important. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And today we're talking about consciousness. We're doing consciousness part two. And by the way, I guess you're interested in that gift that we're sending out to you. We have a gift. It's a pamphlet. And the title of the pamphlet is The Energy of Light. And I think you'll find it very interesting. It's more or less in alignment with what we're speaking about today. So once again, it's called The Energy of Light. It's a pamphlet. We'll send it out to you free of charge. Simply give us a call at the toll-free number 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And all the work, by the way, of the Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, if you want us to send out that gift to you, the pamphlet entitled "The Energy of Life," the Energy of Light, give us a call on our toll-free number. The easy way to remember it is 1-866. NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. I can't help but always be reminded of that nice quotation by Victor Hugo that once the mind expands to a new dimension, it can never return to its original form, and I think that's so true, and it's very similar to what you were saying earlier. What are some of the subtle ways that affect the change in human consciousness?
Well, if possible, before we respond to that, I'd like to come back to the issue of what are the barriers to mm-hmm. the expanding of consciousness. I think enough hasn't been said about this sense of being a separated unit, an individual, because I from my understanding, the whole issue of consciousness and the expansion of consciousness centers on this realization in the human being that he is a self. We talked in the previous program about consciousness being, actually it permeates all levels of life from the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, as well as human. And I think you can watch an ant colony or a bee hive and know that consciousness does organize life on that level in a way that is quite extraordinary. But the unique thing about the human being is that he realizes he is an individual, a unit, an entity, I guess you could say. He's aware. He's self-aware. And that is such a significant and essential recognition. But the problem is that we stay stuck in it. We like being separate, apparently, with all its sorrow and loneliness from time to time. We like thinking that we are self-ruling and self-maintaining, when in fact we're not. We live within a much greater life. We live within the life of God. And yet Western religion seems to present an idea that God resides outside of and apart from the manifested world. To my mind, one of the great contributions of the Eastern religious view is that God, yes, is transcendent, apart from and above and beyond the created world, much greater than that, but also present within it, in every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So the sense of the self is needed to be aware of one's own potential divinity, but when we reside within that sense of being a separated self, we build a prison, we build a barrier.
Yes, this self-centeredness is a stage we have to go through from the herd. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we work our way up through the animal kingdom. And yeah. Then into the human kingdom, and it's that point that we become, that the self becomes apparent, and we become an individual. And this is a stage that's necessary, because we just can't go from herd consciousness into the next stage of group consciousness, which we've talked about before. But it's an inevitable stage that we have to just struggle through and make our way through it and make all kinds of mistakes. And so, yes, that the great barrier to moving on is this. I was thinking of these entrenched attitudes that so many people tend to have sometimes, and entrenched ways of thinking. They're happy in their little niche in the world, and they're suspicious of every other kind of thinking outside the box, so to speak. And I'm thinking of the Luddite mentality, mm-hmm. where they were this group of individuals. I think they were in England back in the 19th century.
Well, I don't know. I always associate that term with Jonathan Swift, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, maybe so, but they had...
No, I think I'm wrong.
They were so anti-technology.
Yeah, right.
And they just didn't...
The Unabomber claimed he was a Luddite.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's groups, individuals, and groups of individuals that are stuck in that kind of category, and they see no need to move.
Well, that's why sometimes a good crisis is an effective blow against the head that shocks one out of that.
It's the 2x4.
That dream,
It's the 2x4 on the mule. Yeah.
That could be the catalyst to bring us into a new dimension of consciousness, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that humanity is really profoundly polarized in this stage of being vividly self-aware, not only on an individual level, but whole masses and nations are aware of themselves? The nation state is a fairly new construct, as I understand it, of just the last century or two. And that's, again, an expression of selfhood, which is necessary, but also becomes a limitation.
Yeah, it becomes the question of a sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Major question before the UN.
Right now, and that's a big question that people in every nation is going to have to give way on. In other words, if we're going to realize our oneness and the one humanity, then some of this staunch call for sovereignty will have to be let go, I think.
And the difficulty is in realizing that sense of self containment, of independence, can be released, and yet you don't lose your own spiritual autonomy. You can give up a certain amount of separateness without giving up real spiritual freedom. In fact, you gain it. You gain freedom.
That's the thing that's hard to for them to realize, perhaps. You're really gaining more in the long run than what you're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaining, even if you have to give up some sovereignty, you're gaining a more unification with the world.
But it's hard to believe that until you're really ready to make that leap. And I think humanity is really engaged in this process on a massive level today, where we have such extreme examples of selfishness and of creativity, which also is an aspect of the consciousness of the self. Great gifted contributions are visible, but also extreme selfishness. And so I suppose these are all signs that we are poised on this threshold of being ready to merge into a larger, more expanded consciousness, if not of the one humanity, at least of some larger realm of group relationship. I hope so.
It's something that has to come because of what's in store for humanity just over the horizon, so to speak, in this new age that we're coming into.
What do you mean?
There's, well, the universality in consciousness that we're moving toward. I mean, this is what human consciousness is moving towards and will eventually develop through humanity. There will be this expression of universal awareness. And I think that's what's ahead for the human race.
But you can't even begin to prepare for that kind of awareness until you have given up some of your sense of being separate from and apart from and different than, perhaps better than, everybody else.
Right.
This whole, maybe next time we can get into this whole discussion of being separated from the larger whole, because it's a fascinating area to ponder on.
And it's not just an Eastern religion concept. It's also the latest science, too, is that in truth, in true reality, we are everything, all of life is connected.
Mm-hmm.
That's true reality, and that the illusion is what we were talking about before, that we are separate entities, that's the falsehood. And it's also interesting to just talk about that idea that I read in Science News not too long ago about how in Science News there was an article about how 90% of the science that was considered to be true and real back in the 1890s is now considered to be false. So with that note, we should all keep open-minded about new possibilities for what reality is. Once again, that gift, if you'd like the gift of the pamphlet that we will be happy to send out to you, it's titled The Energy of Light. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247, and we'll send it out to you in the easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.